So to continue on the program, so a large part of the overall budget for agricultural research and horticultural research in particular is within the ARS. And the ARS has, started out being a little bit alienated from SCRI and then became very integral. And so we have a very interesting story of that that I want to bring up Darius Svetlik to tell us.
Thank you very much for this kind introduction. My name is Darius Svetlik, and I'm area director for Northeast area. By training, I'm a plant physiologist, and before coming to ARS, I used to work for Texas A&M and did work on citrus in the lower Rio Grande Valley. And while there, I was also a citrus grower and a small rancher. Even though I don't do those things anymore, that spirit of stakeholder is still with me, so I bring it with me today for this conversation. All right. So what am I going to talk? I'm going to talk about developing initiatives that happened prior to the SCRI, and just reminiscent on the early years. I'll talk about genomics, genetics, and automation, and Amy, he has only covered that, but I'll just say a few words. Then I'll talk about the ARS contributions in the last 10 years, and I will actually give the example of success that the staffers ask us to provide. So the year was 2010, and I was attending the ISHS conference in Toronto. And it just happened I had a lunch with this fellow that is sitting here, Jim McPherson, and he told me, you know, we have this technology, 3-foot technology roadmap in Washington State. And he came up with the idea we should nationalize that, make it a national. So this is how it started. A year later, we had this conference in Lansdowne. Do you know where Lansdowne is? This is near Dallas, Virginia. This is where the big airport is. And this was a Xerox center. And the Xerox center was, a lot of people got lost there. I will stop at that. And this was the roadmap steering committee: Herb Alwinkle, Phil Bogger, Scott Cameron, John Hickman, Jim McPherson, Pete Novak, Fran Pierce, and myself. And I had a very able secretary at that time, Beth Holt, who really put this meeting together in terms of organization and all sorts that have to go into it. So this conference developed a white paper in, as Amy said before, focus on two areas, on genomics, genetics, breeding, and the other was the automation. So a year later, in 2004, about a year and a half later, we have another technology roadmap workshop on tempered fruit genomics, genetics, and breeding workshop. I happened to be at that time delegated to Office of National Program, and our administrator asked me to continue this. So we had this meeting in BWI Marriott, Washington, D.C. airport, which brought a lot of folks, not only from foods, really, but also from other areas. And I remember Amy Iazzoni giving one of the first talks in that conference. So it brought Rosacea together, and it started building stronger and stronger scientific community. And then 2 years later, we had another one on engineering solution for specialty crops. And by the way, this executive committee was still involved in that. And that meeting was in Crystal City, Virginia. And at the end, we came up with this thing that the next step in the process should be development of a white paper to describe engineering-related industry needs and identify research opportunities. And the white paper would be a statement of where the research and producer community wanted to go relative to engineering solutions for specialty crops. The participants agreed that a white paper should be developed, and that Schmolt, he was from the NIFA, well, CSRES at that time, and Steiner from IRS would take the lead in developing the paper with assistance from Berks. And that happened, and Tom Bierich can correct me, but if I remember correctly, at the beginning it was SCRI initiative, and the automation was the other initiative that somehow disappeared, but I guess it merged to the SCRI later on. It was much funded on a lower level. Now I'm going to switch. I will say this to finish that part, that I believe those activities brought attention and the community to the needs of specialty crops. And I'd say no one more than Jim McPherson. His tenacity and his unending energy contributed to that process. So I would say, and also the growers, the fruit growers, but also vegetable growers, great people that were started coming. And I believe that to answer this question, you know, how this happened on the Hill or something, I think it united those people and it made it happen. I think that's the way I will put it, although at that time I was already federal. We cannot blow the community, the growers, all those associations make it happen. I will switch now to ARS participation. Since the inception of the program in 2009, we participated in 94 projects valued at $141 million. That doesn't mean we got all this money ourselves. And actually, it's very difficult to calculate how much we get. I spent a number of hours trying to do it. But I will also say this, that whatever we get, we contribute about 100% more to it, because we don't recover our salaries, and our overhead is only 11%. Okay? So what happened with this money? Over the years, distribution by commodity, most of it went to fruits and nuts, and I'm talking about deciduous fruits and nuts. The next one is vegetables, next is citrus, mostly it's really greening. When I look at the project, small fruit and grape is the next one, and very small amount to ornamentals and turf. The other question is, what research problems did this money address? And I have to tell you that you cannot just keep adding those numbers, because some of those numbers, there's some overlap, and I'll explain in a moment. For example, the germplasm improvement can address biotic and abiotic stress, obviously. So some of this, there is some overlap. But biotic and abiotic stress, which is a control of insects, diseases, also physiological diseases, is the number one. The next is germplasm improvement. Then it's production system and culture practices, which also contribute to addressing the biotic and abiotic stress. Then we go to food safety. Mostly that part is for the produce, not so much for fruits. Post-harvest, automation and mechanization, which actually pick up in recent years. And food quality, which probably is underrepresented here, because a lot of things that happen in germplasm improvements of biotic and abiotic stress also improve the food quality. It's very difficult to capture that and explain. Where did the money go? Really, the money went, and those are the five areas that we have in ARS. Most of the money went to Northeast, $24 million. 8.5 to the West. Then the next one at the Southeast, $12 million. Midwest, about $10 million. And the least for the Plain area. Well, obviously they don't grow, you know, much specialty crops there. They grow big crops, and animal production is the king there. So this has some sense, you know, when you look at that. Now, I stop at that and switch to an example, and I'll talk about this fellow, which is called Brown Marmorate and Stingbach. And this is what it cost on apple, but, you know, it affects many, many crops. And I'm going to talk about these people. No other initiative, in my opinion, united the scientific community. The PI is Tracy Leskey. She's in the middle there. She's from ARS. But all these people that you see here, they are representing universities, private industry, extension, research. Really, really, it's a community, an interdisciplinary effort. What did they accomplish? Effective insecticides were identified. That was first stop. Develop models to predict the number of generations annually. Pheromone baited traps that were developed by the ARS to measure population size and as decision support tools. Because of that, insecticide input was reduced by more than 40%. At least four companies are producing now lures and selling traps. Use of baited tree canopy reduce insecticides input by more than 90%. What it is, you have trap trees and you spray only them. And more recently, insecticides being replaced by long-lasting insecticides-treated nets. Began development of classical biological control with key Asian parasitoids, and it's well underway. More than 100 peer-reviewed publications, more than 22,000 stakeholder contacts, 250,000 visits to stop it, the website and video series, 5 specialized workshops on identification and natural enemy of the bug, millions reached via media-based outreach, NPR, BBC, New York Times, National Geographic, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, C-SPAN, and Voice of America. 147 undergraduate participated, 38 graduate students, 30 postdocs, and 33 technical staff received specialized training. An economic benefit is in tens of millions of dollars annually. I know that in Apple it's at least 10 millions. And this, we need to maybe put more effort to calculate those things so we can better communicate, you know, those benefits to the people from the Hill. So that's it what I have.